Hello, everyone. It's James, and welcome to the Notorious Banker Podcast. 2,904 amazing followers at Bank Better Guy on Twitter. Dozens more on patreon.com/notoriousbanker, where for as little as a $1 subscription, you can help the Notorious Banker fight back against big banks. And 5,600 plus strong at Notorious Banker on TikTok. Guys, once again, thank you so very much for your support. I really do appreciate it. And it's been an interesting week in the banking world and just in the world in general. Of course, we have a new president. President Biden was sworn in at 10 o'clock my time on Wednesday. And from there, I'm trying to detox from watching political news. I mean, it's been a couple of months of just turmoil and stress. And everything going on in the world has just been frustrating. And one of the things that I always say on this podcast is I don't like to talk about politics, but I sure love watching what's going on in the world, of course. And, you know, seeing it through the eyes of the news, it doesn't matter which channel you watch. It's a very frustrating time out there for pretty much everyone. And one of the things that I've done to pretty much better myself was to get rid of a lot of people on my social media, my personal social media, because it just seems like we're just so laser focused on divisive, you know, conversations. And it's really, really frustrating. And I really think it impedes getting stuff done. You know, not a lot of things are getting done in this world. I'm not talking in the political sense. I'm just talking about taking care of your kids, making dinner instead of eating out and all that stuff. So I made a big decision in literally unfriending so many people who all they talk about is politics from both sides of the aisle. I was really stressed. I was really frustrated about it. And I got rid of a lot of people on my social media that I've known for 25, 30 years, even when I was in grade school with them, because they just incessantly talk about things that, although they do matter, they just seem obsessed to the point of impacting their physical and mental health. And I just don't want to be a part of that anymore. And one of the things that I've talked about with my project, The Notorious Banker, and all the things that are tied around it is I know that people are feeling down. I know people are feeling bad, especially with the way big banks treat them. And all I can tell you is I'm going to be there for you. But I can't be there for you if I'm constantly being dragged down by the negativity that's going on in this world. And it's really frustrating and it's really hard for me. So you know, at 37 years old, I really decided to make an important step in my life and saying, you know what, I'm going to get rid of all the negativity from my life and I'm going to focus on the Notorious Banker Project. I'm going to focus on helping people. I'm going to focus on being a better person, being a better husband, being a better, you know, uncle and everything like that. And it's just really important to me because people need help out there. What can I say? And of course, the Notorious Banker, with $1.35 million in money recovered from big banks since April of 2019, is going to continue to do what he does. And I'm really, really proud of the work that I do. And I'm really, really thankful that I have so many amazing followers out there who communicate with me on a daily basis. I get so many DMs. I get so many cool messages from people thanking me for the work that I do. And I got to tell you, that really does help keep things going. Although if you want to keep things really going, I would totally appreciate a subscription to patreon.com/notoriousbanker. Or you can do Venmo or Cash App at the Banker Dude. Any little bit helps, which allows me to continue working for the people. I'm going to be talking about Bank of America's earnings. And pretty much, I'm going to be talking about a thing that Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan said over the conference call, the earnings conference call on Tuesday, where he mentioned that 2020 was, quote, a good year, end quote. And I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing that you can say. Now, I probably have a reason, an excuse why he said that. I mean, of course, making $18 billion in 2020 is one of them. But I'm going to get into just that comment, and I'm going to tell you all the ways that Bank of America didn't make it a good year for people in the year 2020. And I came up with a pretty comprehensive list. So if you'll humor me, I'm going to be able to go over some of those things. Not in long detail. I'm just going to do them rapid fire. I did a 4-minute video on this and I felt like I sold it short. So I'm going to try to do 20 minutes on it. And then we're going to talk about something that came out today on CNBC and Bloomberg's website. It was actually leaked to me by one of my insiders a couple of days ago that Bank of America is rewarding its employees, its lower-end employees, with a cash bonus. Now, this is something that I've actually received from Bank of America in 2017 and in 2005, but it's significantly less than what it normally is. And in a weird way, I think they're blaming the pandemic, but in the press release, they're actually saying because of the pandemic, the employees earned this bonus. I'm going to get into the ridiculousness of the $750 measly dollars that Bank of America gave to its associates in an internal memo yesterday, and what Brian Moynihan said, and basically why 2021 is not starting off on a great foot for Bank of America. But I want to shout out to a couple of banks that have followed me on Twitter at BankBetterGuy, Chime and Aspiration. Those are two really cool companies, and I'm really glad that your social media team is following the Notorious Banker, because it tells me one thing. It tells me that it's I'm a voice that has a following. I'm a person who really appreciates helping the other person with things that they need help on. And I know you guys do it too. So I'm thankful to have you guys as friends. If you're ever interested in advertising with the Notorious Banker and my podcast, my contact information is on my website at thenotoriousbanker.com. Once again, thank you to those big banks. A lot of followers, a lot of influence, and I can help with that as well. So thank you very much for that. So after this brief promotional consideration, I'll be back with those two topics. So please stick around. Hey everyone, it's James, the Notorious Banker, inviting you to join me on my TikTok page. Yes, it's true. A 37-year-old man has a TikTok page. It's at Notorious Banker. The Notorious Banker on TikTok is going to continue to provide commentary about the news and notes from big banks and how they are impacting consumers nationwide. But we're going to add a little bit of spice to it. We're going to add a little bit of comedy, a little bit of music. I really think you can get a message across with entertainment, and TikTok does provide that. The Notorious Banker always had to provide scripting whenever he worked in the big banking industry, so scripting out skits to show people the horrors of big banking is no problem to me. So go to @NotoriousBanker on TikTok and see the creative mind that is yours truly, the Notorious Banker, fight back against big banks and inform the young people about the dangers of big banks. So once again, the Notorious Banker on TikTok, @NotoriousBanker. I hope to see you there. All right, I'm back with more Notorious Banker podcast. So I did a video a couple of days ago whenever Bank of America announced its quarterly earnings, and I've done this podcast before, blah, 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 Bank of America makes a shit ton of money, blah, blah, blah. Yes, they made $5.5 billion with about $18 billion total in calendar year 2020 in net profit, not just in revenue, in net profit during the pandemic, during all the unprecedented times, all the horrible shit that's going on in the world. Bank of America still turned an $18 billion profit, which is amazing, first of all. And secondarily, of course, with Amazon and all these other companies, Walmart, just growing exponentially because of everything that's going on in the world. It's not to be, it's not a stunning thing. It's to be expected in this world. But what can I say? It's still frustrating whenever, you know, you hear and you see the bank acting as if nothing is going on. And leave it to Bank of America's CEO, Brian Moynihan, on Tuesday during the conference call, not only kind of reference the performance of Bank of America's 2020, but to reference it in a way that was very, very bizarre. He mentioned 2020 was a great year. And I don't know what crack he is fucking smoking, but 2020 is not a good year. 2020 is one of the worst years in American, if not world, history. Bank of America thrived because of it, despite the fact that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, millions of their customers were impacted by COVID-19. I want to play just a clip of what he said really, really quick. So bear with me here.
And let you get about your day. 2020, let's close the book on that. It was a strong year by the team.
He mentions that 2020 was a strong year by the team, and he also references in that conference call that he had that 2020 was a good year. Was it really a good year, though, Brian Moynihan? Was it really an amazing year? Yes, for your shareholders, it was an amazing year. For your company, for maybe performance metrics that you hit, which allow you to make millions of more dollars, it was a good year. But it wasn't a good year. 2020 was actually pretty bad. And I will be blunt when I say that it was the most successful year for yours truly for the Notorious Bankers podcast and project, mainly because of all of Bank of America's shittiness, all the things that they did, which allowed me to show my skills, which allowed me to show people what I believe about Bank of America and Wells Fargo and big banks. It was a great year for me, and I say that humbly because I understand what is going on in the world. But for Brian Moynihan to say that 2020 was a good year, I just have no idea what he's thinking. Now, I have one kind of reason why I think he said that. If you ever seen Brian Moynihan in television interviews or just in anything in general where he's talking to a camera, he seems to be a little nervous, a little shy, and I can understand that. I grew up a shy kid. I still am shy in some extents now. At 37 years old, I've learned to overcome that to be able to work, to be able to operate and function. But I understand being shy, and sometimes you say the wrong thing, or sometimes you stammer, you stutter. Sometimes things don't come out the way that they sound so perfectly in your head. But when he's saying 2020 is a good year, I know that he's not thinking of all the disparity and all this shit. He's thinking about profits. He's thinking about his company succeeding in the world, which is okay. As I've said before, it's an American company, and in America, you should want to make as much money as you possibly can, but do it ethically and do it the right way. So he's entitled to work hard to make his company as successful as possible. But when you're a CEO of a company, you should have people guiding you and saying, hey, try to avoid using positive language like 2020 was a good year. I was talking to someone in the media a few days ago just about what the conversation was with Moynihan saying that it was a good year. And I said, you know, there's a way that you can basically spin how shitty 2020 is into a positive while still intertwining the fact that it was a bad year. And I didn't have it written down, but I'm going to just kind of wing it here. You know, if I was a PR person at Bank of America, I'll say, you know, 2020 has been a tough year for our customers. It's been a tough year for our employees. You know, we've had so many people sick with COVID-19, so many hurdles to overcome, such as unemployment and, you know, the racial tension and the political unease that's going on in 2020. But despite all that, Bank of America is proud to announce an $18 billion net income for the year 2020. And while we thank our employees for their hard work and performance, we want to thank the customers for sticking it out with us to allow us to make as much money as we possibly could during these unprecedented times. And we're going to work hard. We're going to put our commitment there to say we're going to help you as best as we can going forward into 2021. Thank you for being a valued customer, and thank you to our employees for being valued parts of their team. See, I totally pulled that out of my fucking ass. I totally pulled it out of my ass. But they could have said that, and I would have ran through a brick wall for them because they motivated me. They told me how bad it was. But yeah, they said, despite all that, we succeeded, and I'm proud of you. Bank of America doesn't talk like that, though. They're like, yeah, we made $18 billion. It was a good year. Yeah, you know, there's context. Context is there with all the shit that happened in the world. So in this 4-minute video I did, I was basically, you know, trying to rapid fire all the bad things that I can think about that happened with Bank of America in 2020. And it was hard to say them fast without talking like the guy from the Micro Machines commercial in the late 80s. So I tried to say them as fast as I could. But I'm going to elaborate a little more. I'm going to elaborate these bullet points that I did here. I'm not going to get into too much detail over them because you've heard me talk about them before. But Brian Moynihan, 2020 was a good year. Well, how about the 410,000 people who have died of COVID-19 and the 25 million plus infected with COVID-19? Let's just start there for was it a good year? I don't think so. Bank of America started out with PPP loans in April, where there were rules that Bank of America had for applicants that did not gel with the spirit of PPP. Bank of America basically saying you have to have credit with us in the past. You have to have had an open business account with us by this certain date. Otherwise, we're not going to help you. Well, thousands of people descended upon Twitter. They actually messaged me, and I started this little post that got pretty viral. And 3 hours later, CNBC announces that Bank of America was easing off that restriction. easily one of my biggest highlights of the year because you, the people, we, the people, actually got them to change that after all the backlash that they had. In reality, what they were probably doing is just stalling in order to get their rich friends the PP loans first before you. But you know what? At least we did something in changing the requirements, which was big. Those people who did get submissions or application submissions on there ran into a lot of delays. Bank of America was doing the same shit that they did on home loans where they would say, oh, hey, we didn't get your documents. And then you go, yes, I sent them. It's like, well, maybe you want to send them again because I checked the fax machine and they're not there. Lies. This is what Bank of America's home loan department does, and this is what their business department did with PPPs. And as I mentioned, you know, they said, oh, we didn't get these papers. Losing documents, misplacing them, misappropriating them, you know, and basically denying applications, saying, hey, we told you to send this by the 3rd, and you didn't send it, so we're closing out your application. I mean, this shit literally happened. And now that we're coming upon another round of PPP, there's some people who are applying for forgiveness, and they're finding the documents that they need to submit for forgiveness are almost impossible to submit on the system, making the forgiveness process that much harder, and it may actually backfire against them, and they may be screwed out of money. Forbearance, you know, people had so many issues with how am I going to pay the mortgage? How am I going to pay rent? But for those homeowners who couldn't pay their mortgage, forbearance was really the only option. And most banks did this as well. So I'm not going to hate on B of A too much for this. But it's not a good year when shit like this happens. Okay, Bank of America's customers for mortgages are basically screwed because they had several months where they were placed in a holding pattern because they couldn't pay. All the while, this loan was generating interest and causing them a lot of issues to where after 3 months of forbearance, they had to make a four times the amount payment to their home loan, which was nearly impossible because guess what happened? 4 months after the pandemic started, it was still going on and they didn't have the money. Fee waivers. Bank of America put a known press release out in March, and it's something that I have linked to for thousands of people on Twitter this year where they basically said, hey, you know what, because of the virus, if you have a overdraft fee, we'll work with you. If you have a monthly maintenance fee, we'll work with you. Just let us know. Well, you saw people trying to call into the 1-800 number, get 3, 4, 5. I've seen some people talk about 8-hour holds on the phone and they get disconnected or the person on the other end claims to not be able to hear them and hang up on them. This legitimately happened. So people were promised fee waivers and the people who got through for the most part got them in the first few months of the pandemic. But it became that much harder to get through. It just seemed like the phones were being fucked with and people couldn't talk to human beings. So there was people who were stuck with these fees, these overdraft fees through no fault of their own. And then we did a podcast a few months ago where Bank of America announced internally, they didn't even have the balls to say it out loud, that they were ending fee waivers due to COVID in October. Because as we know, October was the month that COVID-19 was cured in the United States of America. Of course, I'm kidding, but Bank of America must think that because Bank of America decided in October that people didn't need any more help. So they ended fee waivers for monthly maintenance fees, withdrawal limit fees, and the like. The next one is one that's near and dear to my heart. It's one we've talked about several times, and it's tragic. You know, the racial inequality debate has gone through a lot of roller coaster rides this year. And with George Floyd's murder, with Breonna Taylor's murder, Bank of America on June the 2nd started an initiative where it was $1 billion to help end racial inequality. And for some reason, that racial inequality $1 billion commitment became economic opportunity. And it almost had nothing to do with the original cause, which was the Floyd and Taylor issue. And I understand. I understand if you want to lump in all these causes that you want into one nice little package. But Bank of America used the tumultuous time that we were going through in early June to basically announce this thing and saying, hey, look what an amazing company we are for African Americans and people of color. We're committing $1 billion to neighborhoods who are undergoing racial inequality or need economic opportunity. When in reality, they donated a bunch of masks and they donated a bunch of hand sanitizer. Necessary items, yes, but I don't associate hand sanitizer and masks with racism and economic opportunity. No, you're doing that out of the goodness of your heart. You're not doing that because George Floyd died. And the simple fact that all this happened because of Floyd, and they did not say George Floyd's name once in any press release and anything public that Bank of America did, yet internally, because I've seen these internal documents from my insiders this past summer, all they mentioned was Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor and George Floyd over and over and over again. And I'm like, God, why can't you say that in public? Are they afraid they're going to offend some people who may not think that those people's murders were a bad thing? Like, it really, really bugs me. And I started to believe that more and more whenever you would see conversations this summer online where Bank of America was accused of donating to Black Lives Matter, to the people who think Black Lives Matter is some sort of terrorism entity, which it's totally not. And the thing that pissed me off the most about that is Bank of America never had the balls to defend themselves and say, hey, yeah, no, we're doing this to help people who need help. They didn't outright deny that they were using it to fund terrorism or whatever, which is ridiculous. I mean, if someone's accusing you of bad stuff, you call them out on it. I would defend Bank of America on this one, saying, hey, you know what? It's a gesture. It's a nice gesture. It's not the best one, but you're putting words into their mouth, okay? Someone is telling you wrong information, and all of a sudden, that becomes what everyone thinks is happening, when it wasn't. It was just merely about giving some colleges some money, giving some, you know, hospitals some money for COVID-19 tests and stuff like that. And yes, we can argue or not if that's racially charged or whatever. That's more of a health thing. But, you know, part of the $1 billion thing was talking about lending to small businesses so they can build affordable housing. I mean, don't you want this legacy to be, you want African-American people of color be homeowners instead of renting from the man again? I mean, I don't know. There was so much that went on with it, and it didn't make it a good year for them, because although they committed $1 billion over 4 years, they're never really quite clear on what that actually means. So no, it was not a good year. In that same vein, you know, we talk about racial inequality. Bank of America is proof positive that there is racism in the banking industry. A viral YouTube video happened last year pre-pandemic where a business owner in California is going to confront a Bank of America manager for refusing to cash his employee, who was an African-American gentleman, his paycheck. All of his co-workers went to cash their paychecks, and they were able to do it lickety-split with a thumbprint and a form of ID. This person who is black went to go cash his check, and they said that they need to, quote, verify the check. And then they ended up refusing to cash the check. One of the main reasons was they probably were out of money. The second thing was they were probably not selling any accounts. So they're like, fuck all these people. We're not gonna even cash their check. But they chose to pick on an African-American individual. And that left a bad taste in my mouth. Because you know what? I was that person that was actively denying people the right to cash their check inside the Bank of America branches, working the line to go see the tellers. That was a job that I had to do. Say, hey, Mr. Johnson, would you like to open an account? We can deposit this check and you can have a debit card and you don't have to worry about standing in line to cash the next one. I used to be that person to make people feel uncomfortable, to not want to stand in line. So I know exactly what was going on there. But the fact of the matter is that they cashed everyone else's check, but his was racist. In that same vein, St. Louis, Tampa, East LA, South Central LA all have ATMs that close at nighttime due to, quote, safety concerns, which is total bullshit. Bank of America is denying services to people of color in these neighborhoods, and they're doing it on a consistent basis. Now, here's the thing. You know, I always thought ATMs are 24 hours, and I think most people think that, and most people believe that, and that's the case for most of them. Yes, I understand that some ATMs go offline. Maybe they're inside a store that closes or whatever. But for God's sakes, this is no accident. You know, all these ATMs are in these places, and they just happen to power down. So meaning that someone has to go to a non-Bank of America ATM and get charged a fee to get their own money out. Or worse yet, go into a neighborhood that's maybe not theirs and then accosted by the police or something like that, and then possibly get in trouble and or get shot, for God's sakes. That part's ridiculous. So no, it was not a good year, Bank of America. I kind of referenced how donating hand sanitizer and masks as part of their $1 billion racial inequality initiative was a big thing, and there were so many pictures on Bank of America's social media pages of them posing next to fucking boxes of masks and boxes of hand sanitizer. And make it seem like they're doing a difference. I mean, for God's sakes, there's hand sanitizer and masks at every place you go to now. So they're not doing anything special that no one else is doing out of the goodness of their heart. If you want to donate $1 billion, you know, give it to people to better their lives. You buying a $2 thing of hand sanitizer is not bettering anyone's lives, especially in urban areas. The closure of branches in the United States. Now, there's two parts to this. There's the temporary closures of branches in really busy neighborhoods, especially in Florida, Georgia, California, to name a few, where the banks are just closed. And they've been closed since March, and they have no signs of reopening. And in some cases, including a branch in Chicago, it was actually still closed 9 months later, and they just decided to permanently close the branch. I mean, this is a serious thing, okay? I really think going into 2021, a lot of these branches that have been closed for months will not reopen. And those people who were in that branch working lost their job. They're going to have to reapply somewhere else, and then Bank of America is not going to hire them. And that's how they're going to get rid of thousands of people. Period. End of story. Then the random closure of branches in the U.S. We did a podcast a few months ago where in Georgia, there was a lot of people complaining that the branches were closed on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Weird times for them to be closed. And I asked them for the address of the places, and I typed it in onto the B of A locator, and it mentioned the open hours from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and then all of a sudden, another webpage magically just goes on top of that one, where it says, this center is temporarily closed. And it's basically giving people wrong information, because the next day, that branch was open, yet the temporarily closed sign was still on the locator. It makes me believe that they're trying to kind of misdirect people into going into the bank to where they stop going to the bank. It just seems that way, because what bank closes on a Tuesday or Wednesday? I remember there was a pizza place going to Albuquerque near my hometown of Socorro, New Mexico, in Belen, New Mexico, and my dad and I used to drive by it all the time, and I forget the name of the pizza place, but it would say closed Tuesdays. And yes, I was 8 years old at the time, but in my brain, I'm like, why the fuck is it closed on Tuesday? Like, what random-ass reason do you have to have it closed on Tuesday? And, you know, I'm not even thinking the religious sense. Sundays, you know, everyone's closed on Sundays, Chick-fil-A and whatnot. But Tuesday? It didn't make any sense. So the banks, when Tuesdays are on the first, when Tuesdays are paydays sometimes for people, when Tuesdays are important for small businesses or whatever, to have a branch temporarily closed for that one day told me that there was something more nefarious going on. They're trying to cut back on hours. They're trying to cut back on staff, you know, all these things going on. And just costs, I guess, to have many branches open in one gigantic city like in Atlanta. I don't know. It's just weird. Work from home employees. A lot of people from those temporarily closed branches were forced to work from home, and they were forced to do customer service training. And a lot of them, including one of my insiders, was working on testing PPP loans. And I've said it before in a previous podcast, no offense to my insider at the time, and no offense to anyone who was doing that, but those people were not trained to do business loans, much less PPP loans. So the fact that Bank of America was having a hell of a time going through the PPP loan process for so many of its customers was one thing. But the simple fact that the people who were actually working these things through and testing these loans out were employees who were literally opening up savings accounts for little old ladies in a branch a couple of months before is just ridiculous. Okay, it's just really, really stupid. And the fact that once they tested them, they got to reanalyze them again. It just seemed like busy work. It just seemed like they were just put there to do that to kill time instead of actually working inside a branch with social distancing and masks, of course. Another thing that people were doing with work from home, especially the branch employees, was helping out with the call center stuff. I know some people were doing that. And the 2, 3, 4, 5 hour holds, 8 hour holds in some cases, for the phone were ridiculous. And the fact that people would pick up, they would say that, hey, I can't hear you, and randomly disconnect was not an accident. That was on purpose, because those call center employees were judged on one thing, the time it takes to help a customer. If you can pick up the phone and pretend you didn't hear them and hang up within 10 seconds, guess what? They're going to lower their average pretty good. You have a bunch of unskilled and untrained people working the phones for Bank of America and causing a huge issue. I mean, there were some people who were furious that they couldn't talk to people on the phone. And then when they go to the branch, they say, hey, oh, you need this fixed? Call the 1-800 number. And it's just a dead end. Arctic drilling. Okay, so here's the thing with that. I'm not huge on the environmental causes. I mean, I believe in them and whatnot. But the Arctic drilling thing was interesting because every bank said that they're not going to lend to people who were doing that. And Bank of America was the lone holdout. And Sierra Club and all these places were on Bank of America's balls nonstop saying, hey, you know what? Don't be the odd person out. Lead by example. Don't lend to people who are doing this horrible thing to the environment. And until a couple of months ago, they were refusing to do so. And then they finally said, oh, yeah, we have no plans on lending to those people in the future. Well, no plans now doesn't mean no plans 5 years from now. So stay tuned on that. One other thing with the work from home people, a lot of the people were told, and I was told by a couple of them as well, that once their branches reopen, they actually have to reapply for their position, which tells me that internally at Bank of America, they reassign their job titles in cost centers to something else. So it's basically like they're starting out brand new as a new employee at the same branch they were working at. And I really think this is going to be a way to curtail some of the staff and get rid of some of them by just saying, hey, we got an application from this person and we denied it. We didn't think they were the right fit. I really think a lot of people are going to lose their jobs unannounced with Bank of America through this weird policy that they have. So it's not a good year, Bank of America, in 2020 for a lot of your employees. The politics thing, I talked about it a couple of podcasts ago, Bank of America refusing to say we're not going to stop our political donations. They said we're going to pause them for now. Whenever someone says they're going to pause them, means that they're going to restart them again. You don't pause a movie never to restart it again. So Bank of America is trying to placate people who are upset about what happened on January 6th and at the same time trying to tell their politicians, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to give you some money very, very soon. One of the things that happened during the pandemic that really pissed me off was Bank of America made a lot of people inside the branch do outbound calls to invite people into the banking center during the height of the pandemic. They called people and say, hey, we're worried about you. We want to help you. I don't have the scripting with me, otherwise I would read it right now. But it was essentially along the lines of, are you healthy? Are you well? Is there anything you need to talk about? And then trying to sell them bullshit. It's ridiculous. It's just a joke. And I can't believe that Bank of America allowed their employees. Well, I mean, Bank of America did it. But Bank of America made their employees try to get people into for the reasons of opening up accounts. Ridiculous. Ending pandemic pay for their associates. We broke it in September. And then noted blogger Judd Legum in October actually mentioned that Bank of America was ending the $200 a pay period pandemic pay for its in-branch associates. I mean, we got the scoop well before everyone else, and I was proud of that. It's not a good year for your employees, Bank of America, because you're making them work this for the same price now with the same amount of risks involved with COVID-19. So that was a big thing. 2020 was not a good year, Bank of America, because of unemployment. Now, I can go an hour and a half with this shit, but I'm not going to because I'm already 25 minutes in, and I don't want to bore you. But Bank of America's unemployment in California, Arizona, Nevada, Maryland, and any state where they have it is a fucking joke. And there's so much fraud going on, so many fraudulent claims, people applying for benefits that don't need them. That's one element of fraud. But the other element of fraud is people are getting their money stolen out of their accounts. Trying to contact Bank of America, and when they can contact them, they're getting their claims denied. And they're getting their claims denied by saying that you gave your card out, you gave your PIN out, it was your fault. And they're basically victim shaming their 300,000 plus cardholders with California unemployment and $2 billion of fraud. There are people who are starving. There are people who can't pay their rent, and all of a sudden they're stuck because Bank of America just refuses to help anyone with California EDD unemployment or any of the other states. So much going on with that. A couple more things here. Of course, all the fraud that yours truly, the Notorious Banker, works on with Venmo, Cash App, and Zelle. You know, I use a lot of those products for my donations, but at the same time, I do realize that there's a lot of people that are utilizing these apps to scam other people, and frankly, that sucks, and I hate it. I hate it, but I also hate that Bank of America victim shames someone for saying, well, why do you use Cash App? It's not our fault. You authorized Cash App to do this. So if someone steals from you, we're not responsible. It's Bank of America passing the buck, and it sucks. So it's not a good year for people who get ripped off, Bank of America. The withdrawal limit fee, Regulation E, during the pandemic, people were dipping into their savings accounts to pay the bills. And of course, with savings accounts, there's a 6 withdrawal limit anytime you access money in the savings account. Well, people were getting these upwards of $60 a month fees at Bank of America because they were dipping into their savings accounts over and over and over again, and Bank of America was punishing them. Well, the federal government basically said, hey, you know what? We don't have a limit anymore on how many times people can withdraw this. They can withdraw it as much as they need to, and don't penalize them. And every bank pretty much said, we're not going to penalize people from taking out of their savings, except for Bank of America. And still to this day, I'm helping people get money back with withdrawal limit fees, and that's a fucking joke, Bank of America, my God. So it's not a good year for those people. And you know why it's not a good year for people as well? Bank of America, I didn't even put it on the list. You're going to introduce a payday loan product in January this month, which is totally ridiculous, which is against everything that I stand for. And the fact that you're going to get people into revolving debt who don't deserve to be in revolving debt is just gross. With the taxpayer stimulation, the stimmy, if you will, Bank of America was refunding any overdraft fees or any monthly maintenance fees that you may have had on your account to get your account to $0. That way you can benefit from the $1,200 that you got in April or the $600 you got in December. That way you could pay the bills or whatever to the fullest extent. My issue with that was Bank of America, after 30 days, was reversing those fees and recharging you for those fees, putting you back in the hole, which is totally counterproductive. I mean, where's the amnesty at, for God's sakes, Bank of America? And not educating your customers about those things, too, led to a lot of conversations and a lot of pissed off people online. You know, my thing you could tell them is, hey, you know what, we're going to refund you this one time. If you go negative again, we're not going to be able to refund you, but here's a one-time grant of all of your fees back. I mean, seriously, how much money would they have lost if they would have just done that? Not a lot of money, trust me. Refusing to honor expired IDs. Now, this is something that's interesting because a lot of Department of Motor Vehicle divisions across the country are closed, so people can't get their IDs renewed. So a lot of states, this state included, New Mexico, where I actually just printed out my temporary driver's license today, people are getting those paper licenses, via email, and they're printing them out, and they're putting them in their wallet. Bank of America is not accepting those paper temporary extensions as primary forms of ID, which is impacting people trying to cash checks, trying to do things that's inside the bank, because Bank of America doesn't consider it a valid form of ID, which you should make exceptions when everyone knows what's going on in the world, for God's sakes. And frankly, the last one, and I'll wrap it up here, Bank of America made $18 billion of profit. You figure with that much profit that there's enough to go around to where they say, hey, you know what, let's amp up our social media team. Let's put 20 or 30 people on there, and let's get these people the help that they need, because there's so many people on Twitter, there's so many people on Facebook that need help, and we're not helping them the way that we should. The Notorious Banker helps them a hell of a lot more than Bank of America does, and Bank of America does nothing to improve the lives of those customers who need help, who ask them for help on social media. So to keep me busy, to keep me working, Bank of America, while thousands of people are begging for your help, while thousands of people are needing assistance from you, and you just refuse to help them, yet you have the balls to announce to the world that you made an $18 billion profit in 2020, and that 2020 was a good year? Nah, man. 2020 was not a great year. Because you know why? I'm in business, and I'm thriving. And it's all because of Bank of America. It's all because of them and the way that they handle things, the way that they handle their customers means that people need help, and I'm there to help them, and I'm successful at what I do. If Bank of America says it was a good year, you know how I would say it was a good year for them? If they actually got off their ass and assisted customers in the way that they needed to be assisted. That doesn't happen, so the Notorious Banker is here for them. I went 32 minutes on this list because I felt that all the things I talked about were very, very important. I've done full podcasts on all those things right there. But the fact that I basically said about 20 things that were wrong with Bank of America in 2020 is proof positive that it was not a good year. So stop lying to yourself, Bank of America. Stop lying to your customers and actually help them. After this brief promotional consideration, I'm going to talk about the $750 amazing bonus I'm rolling my eyes that Bank of America gave to its employees, which was announced yesterday, so please stick around. Hey everyone, it's James, the Notorious Banker, and you may have heard me talk about my Patreon page on my podcast. That's patreon.com/notoriousbanker, where for as little as a $1 subscription, you can help yours truly, the Notorious Banker, continue to fight back against big banks. But I also want to let you know I do accept Cash App, Venmo, and PayPal as well. For information on how to send me contributions through those means, go to james@thenotoriousbanker.com or direct message me at BankBetterGuy on Twitter. What does your contribution to the Notorious Banker do? Well, it allows you additional content that may not be available for someone who does not contribute. Plus, you allow yours truly to stay here and work full-time for the little guy fighting back against the big banks such as Bank of America, Chase, Citi, and Wells Fargo. I work hard, I work like hell, and I get things done. So your contribution allows me to pay the bills to continue to function as the Notorious Banker. So if you have the means, I would graciously appreciate any donation that you would love to give to the Notorious Banker Project as we continue to fight back against big banks. All right, and we're back with more Notorious Banker Podcast. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to try really, really hard to perk up my energy here because I'm tired. I did a couple of videos. I've done a lot of help with Vigilante Customer Service at BankBetterGuy on Twitter today. And I'm like, whoo, I just can't wait for the weekend. And here we are, 4:29 p.m., so let's drive it home. So in 2005, when I started working at Bank of America, Bank of America CEO at the time, Ken Lewis, introduced something called rewarding success. It might have been the CEO before him, Hugh McColl. I'm not sure where it originated. But basically, whenever the bank succeeded performance-wise in the stock market and net earnings, net income, you, the individual that works inside the branch, can cash in on that as well. And they had different tiers for different amounts. So basically, when the bank made X amount of billions of dollars, every associate that was qualified would make a nice little chunk of change. Well, in 2005, I was a 20-hour bank teller, going to school, going to college. I had Wednesdays off. I mean, I was barely there, but I was working hard the 20 hours that I was there. And that year, my net income was like $8,000 at Bank of America. It was ridiculous. It was a low amount of money. It was ridiculously low. But I lived at home, and I didn't have bills, so it was nice to have some extra spending cash. So at the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, Bank of America's rewarding success mentions that, hey, Bank of America made X amount of dollars in profit. Says every associate's going to receive this amount of money. Full-time people were going to receive something, and then part-time people, which is what I was, would receive $1,900. $1,900, and that was almost 25% of what I made for salary that year, which was amazing. I got that direct deposit into my account, and I felt like $1 million. I felt like I actually earned something huge, and it was huge for me. It was the biggest payday that I ever got, because I had never really worked full-time until I worked at Bank of America. It was nice to have. It was really, really nice to have when I was 22, and I was proud of that. And I remember just doing all the research about all these bonuses that you can get once you become a banker and a manager and all that stuff. And I was like, I want to work hard to do this, because it seems like easy money, because I barely did anything and I got $1,900. Well, in 2006, we didn't get anything. And I didn't get another year-end bonus until 2017, my last full year that I worked at Bank of America. And the reason for that was President Donald Trump had a big tax cut for businesses. And every business, Walmart, Bank of America, any company like that, gave employees a one-time $1,000 bonus. And it was a byproduct of the tax cut. Let's not lie. So the next time I got a bonus that was a year-end bonus like that was in 2017, the last year. What happened between now and then? Well, Brian Moynihan fucking happened. And of course, the depression, the recession hit in 2008. All these bad things happened where, the bank was struggling for a while. But the bank wasn't struggling like in 06 and 07 when they purchased LaSalle and MBNA, and they were just winding down the loose ends to the fleet merger and everything. So, I mean, they had money to spend to buy other companies, but they didn't have money to spend to give to their associates. And we worked hard. We were opening accounts at Wells Fargo-like levels, although ours were legitimate. It was crazy because I never saw that bonus again, but that one taste of $1,900, and that's what my manager at the time, her name was Emmy, referred to it as. She said, this is a taste of what it's like whenever you succeed at Bank of America. And I remember that taste, and it made me want to work hard, but we never got a bonus like that again until 2017. Rewarding success was done away. I remember the day that we got that notice, it said we're not going to look forward to it anymore. Because I used to be the dude who used to tally up the quarterly earnings to see if we're going to get a bonus. And I would share that news with my coworkers. Of course, I only got to do it a couple of times. But I just remember how important it was to those people because we worked just as hard to make sure that we were included as part of that. Of course, Bank of America got bigger and bigger in the 2010s. I was a part of that. I was opening accounts for them. We're making billions of dollars of profit, but Bank of America's rewarding success was no longer there. So that means lowly teller supervisors and whatnot got shit for all the hard work that bankers and tellers did opening up new accounts and driving revenue inside the branches. That was only going to the big shots, the big wigs, the regional managers and above, who made six figures anyway, and they were just making tons more in bonuses because of all the revenue that the working stiffs were getting, and it was just ridiculous. And it wasn't until that last bonus I got in 2017 that I realized what a fucking scam it was. And then I got fired in August in 2018, and then in 2018 they gave the $1,000 bonus again. And in 2019 they gave the $1,000 bonus again. So now it became a consistent thing, and it didn't really seem like it was rewarding success. It was more of a just keeping the narrative that, hey, we reward our employees for hard work. And as $1,000, which is not a lot of money whenever you only have a couple hundred thousand people, I mean, we're talking stimulus and, you know, all this stuff, and it's weird. It's weird that we talk about these things in the hundreds of billions of dollars, you know. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars of Bank of America, but it's really a drop in the bucket to keep your employees happy. 2020, of course, rolls around, the pandemic hits, branches close, people are struggling. And you think that Bank of America is struggling, right? Hell no, dude, it made $18 billion this year in 2020, a ridiculous amount of money, despite the fact branches are closed, despite the fact they probably opened a fraction of the accounts that they normally would open, despite the fact that people are working from home and are afraid to go into the bank to open accounts and so on and so forth. They made $18 billion despite all that, and they fucking don't stuff ATMs. They didn't replenish their cash supplies in branches that were open, for God's sakes. All that stuff happened, they still made that money, and it just seems ridiculous. It seems like we're in a bizarro world where we're talking doom and gloom all the time, but yet Bank of America is making $18 billion. Astounding. So word came late last night, Lina Nguyen, Bloomberg, and now Hugh Sun from CNBC both posted stories that said Bank of America is rewarding the success again in 2021, giving $750 cash bonuses to lower paid employees and restricted stock to others. More on the stock thing in a little bit. But it says, and the bullet points, staffers in the U.S. who earn $100,000 or less annually, which is pretty much everyone in the branch managers, assistant managers, bank sellers, tellers, service specialists, whatever, will get a cash reward of $750 late next month, Brian Moynihan said Thursday. And it says employees who make between $100,000 and $500,000 will receive 150 to 750 stock units that will be paid out over 4 years starting in 2022. I want to get to that in a second. That part's ridiculous. And then it talks about the minimum wage thing that we've talked about a billion times, the $20 an hour thing, and we'll get to that. But, you know, it says that staffers in the U.S. who earn $100,000 or less annually will get a cash reward of $750 late next month, Moynihan said Thursday in a company memo. And then this is his quote that was on the CNBC page here. Let me do my bank voice. Our company and teammates were called upon to address unprecedented challenges and headwinds. What a word to use, headwinds, in the broader environment, working in support of each other, our clients, and the communities where we work and live. I mean, do you think he really wrote that? In appreciation for our outstanding efforts, the management team and I, with the support of our board of directors, have decided to recognize employees with the awards. So $750 is an award now. $1,950 or something, right around that amount, in 2005, 15 years ago. You know, the rate of inflation should say that it should be like $3,000, I guess, that these people should get, but now it's 750, and it was down from 1,000 last year. But the interesting thing was the first part of Hugh Sun's article in CNBC. It says Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan is awarding 212,505 employees. I like how they got the number exactly right, with a bonus for their work during the coronavirus pandemic. So all of a sudden it became about COVID-19 again. This whole conversation about working hard through the pandemic and shit, and they're rewarded for that. So are you saying if there was no COVID-19, they wouldn't have got that bonus? That's the shit that pisses me off about this. Bank of America trying to control a narrative here. Basically saying, hey, you know what? Because of the virus, we're giving you this money. When the last 3 years before, there was no virus and they got more money. And in 2005, there was no virus and business was thriving. Banks were doing unethical shit. And we're making tons of money. And we got $2,000. So this is a hollow gesture. This is stupid, you know? This is like, okay, my nieces love pizza rolls. I know this is a weird analogy here. They love pizza rolls. And, you know, in the little box, there's like 12 of them in there. But then you get like the family pack and there's 30. And then they have like the Mormon family pack, which is like 100 pizza rolls. It's like if I had 100 pizza rolls and I knew that they really, really loved pizza rolls. And I made all 100 and I said, hey, I got a bunch of pizza rolls. So I'm going to give you girls some because you girls are amazing. And then I give them each 3. 3 out of the 100, and I get to keep 94 of them. But they didn't know that I had 100. In fact, they would have loved me the same if I would have gave them 2 or gave them 20. But my greediness said, hey, I want all 94 of them, so I'm going to keep 94, and I'm giving 3 each. That's what I see this Bank of America shit going on. Bank of America is rewarding these people for surviving the pandemic $750, when in reality they ran away with a cookie jar $18 billion worth. They're giving this money to proactively and preemptively say, hey, good job, here's your money, here's your bonus for all the hard work that you do. When in reality, we know something that we talked about in September that noted blogger Judd Legum broke in October to the rest of the public, was that Bank of America was ending pandemic pay, $200 every 2 weeks to people who are working inside the branch. That would work out to $800 extra every 2 months. Bank of America is giving this as a one-time bonus now after the ended pandemic pay. So if you're rewarding people because of the coronavirus pandemic with a one-time bonus, yet you were giving them $200 every pay period, which one is it? Like, so was that one never about COVID-19, the pandemic pay? Or is this one not really about it? It can't be both, because if it was both because of your hard work during the pandemic, well, what the fuck happened to the 3 months between the time you stopped it and then this time where you announced this $750? I mean, that part is ridiculous, okay? Whenever you're saying we went through headwinds and unprecedented challenges during these unprecedented times, for God's sake, you're not being serious. You're making up a story at that point. So, you know, it talks about Brian Moynihan, who's led Bank of America since 2010. Can you believe it's been 11 years? Has, in recent years, taken steps to invest in his employee base. He took it over in the immediate aftermath of the financial crisis. And then it says, Bank of America began giving employees $1,000 annual cash awards in 2017, a program that continued until the pandemic struck. Here's the thing. It never stopped. 2017, 18, 19, everyone got their shit. 2020... was when the pandemic hit, and this money is based off of 2020. So it made it seem like they came back out of nowhere and still were giving money out. No, it never stopped. They actually just paid less. Ridiculous. And then it says, under Moynihan, the firm was also one of the first big banks to say it was shifting to a $20 minimum wage, a move it completed in April of 2020, a year ahead of schedule. Now, once again, I don't want to get over it over and over again, but the $20 minimum wage thing is fake, okay? Because most people think, oh man, it must be nice. I want to be a bank teller and make $20 an hour. No, bank tellers will not make $20 an hour. They're getting rid of tellers. $20 minimum wage is going to be someone who has a sales goal, who has to sell you the customer bullshit. These are the people that are going to be talking to you. Hey, would you like to open that account? Would you like to open that credit card? Do you need to refinance your house? They're going to be on your balls nonstop. They're not there to give lollipops to your kids and to take your deposit. The $20 minimum wage is made for people who are going to make them a shit ton of money. So don't say, you know, oh, they're doing good because they're giving their lower end employees $20. To Bank of America, the lowest end employee is still someone who's integral in making them billions of dollars. So it was never real, the $20 minimum wage. The $20 minimum wage was just the starting point for the lowest end job on the totem pole, while the lowest end job, teller, is no longer going to be a thing. I hate that double talk with Bank of America. And like I said, you know, would I think about it differently had I never worked for Bank of America? Yeah, probably, because I wouldn't be as cynical. Because you see how these things matter and how these things are real whenever you're there and you see how they're talked about and stuff. And I can tell you that it's all bullshit just with the way that they word it. Now, here's the thing that bugs me the most. After the pandemic pay ended in October, and then the $750 that they said that they're giving in spite of the coronavirus pandemic and for the hard work that people have done during the pandemic, Hugh Sun says, the lender also said it has spent $300 million so far in reimbursing employees for childcare costs during the pandemic. So, let me get this straight here. Like, they're tooting their own horn. And I keep on referring to a wrestling podcast that I listen to where a former pro wrestling announcer, Gorilla Monsoon, may he rest in peace, used to say, don't break your arm trying to pat yourself on the back. It seems like Bank of America has two broken arms right now because they're patting themselves on the back so fucking much when they say that they spent $300 million in reimbursing employees for childcare costs. Okay, first of all, Bank of America already reimburses people for childcare costs. So them doing it during the pandemic is a non-starter because they were already fucking doing it. They were already giving money to workers. How do I know? I don't have kids, James. Who cares if I have kids or not? I had coworkers who all were moms. Couple of dads in there too, but most of the moms got reimbursed for childcare for their young babies all the way to their grade school kids as part of Bank of America's awesome benefits. And I do think that's an awesome benefit. I'm happy and I'm proud that they do that. But to spin it as, oh, hey, you know, the virus happened, so we're going to give for childcare. You fucking liars, you were doing it all along. Liars. So let's get back to the stock thing here. You know, I got the $1,000 bonus in 2017, and after taxes, I got $450. I bought a PlayStation 4. It's not a lot of money. It's not life-changing money. It's a nice little gift. It's a nice little memento, but it's not really much, you know. $750 is going to be even less. It's going to be like $360 after taxes, so it's you can't even buy a PlayStation 5 with this one. I mean, you could buy a couple games with it, I guess. But if you make $100,000 to $500,000 annually, and there are thousands, tens of thousands of people who make that much at Bank of America because the median salary is like $170,000 there, you're going to receive 750 restricted stock units if you make up to $500,000 annually, and as little as 150 stock units if you make $100,000 annually. Now, you may not know what that means, you know, on the grand scheme of things like that. But 150 times 31, so the stock price is at $31. If you get 150 shares of stock and it maintains its $31 price a couple years from now, you're getting $4,650 of bonus as opposed to the $750 us working stiffs get. If you make exactly $500,000 and you get 750 shares at $31 a share, you're going to get yourself $23,000 plus. $23,000 $23,250 to be exact. That's going to vest in a few years, which unless it loses 96% of its value, you're still going to make more than the $750 bonus, folks. $23,000 in bonus for someone making $500,000 a year, and that's typically the boss of the regional manager that's going to make around that amount. It's ridiculous and it's unfair, okay? The rich keep on getting richer, and I did a video on this that I'm posting to my YouTube channel and my social medias where I basically did that salt bay thing. You know the guy who sprinkles salt on the steak that went viral? They're basically throwing some salt your way. They're throwing some breadcrumbs your way, saying, here's $750 measly dollars. Meanwhile, the thousands of people who make $500,000 or more for this company are making $23,000 in stock interest. In invested stocks in a few years, and that's exponentially more than what these people are getting. You can buy a car with that. You can, you know, sell that and then reinvest, and you can make $1 million off that if you play your cards right. I mean, it's just horrible stuff. And do you deserve it if you make that much money? Yeah, of course. If you're incentivized like everyone else is incentivized, then you should have the right to get a bonus too. But my God, man, $750 for the person who helps the branch manager get a bonus, who helps the regional manager get a bonus, who helps the area manager get a $23,000 bonus. And that teller who actually worked hard for that account gets $750 before taxes. My God, it's ridiculous. Now, I think my biggest thing was I wouldn't be as pissed off about it if they didn't use the pandemic as part of this. If they just said, you know what, we at Bank of America made $18 billion this year, despite the fact that there was a pandemic going on. We worked hard, we helped our customers, and we did really good at our jobs. So we're going to reward our employees for that hard work. Don't say because of the virus and because of the hard work they did, you know, sacrificing their health and possible risks and all that shit. No bullshit. You were already reimbursing them every couple of weeks for that before. So the fact that you're giving them this now is basically saying that there was one point in time that you were being selfish as shit and you weren't giving them anything. Because there's a 3-month gap where you gave them nothing. So tell you what, you can give them the $750 cash bonus, but you know what would be the most ethical thing, Bank of America? I know ethics and Bank of America don't necessarily go together. But the most ethical thing would be give them the $750 cash, but then retroactively give them the $200 a week or $200 a check in pandemic pay for all the paychecks that were missing that pandemic pay when you ended the program. That would make it all right. And then if you want to lower the pandemic pay and say, you know what, we're going to do $100 extra every 2 weeks, I'll be fine with that. In fact, I'd actually applaud you at that point. But the fact that you're giving people this and then you're selling it to Bloomberg and the CNBC as a, because of the pandemic, we're rewarding our employees for their hard work. No bullshit. You're rewarding them because you got rewarded because you made $18 billion. So you're throwing them the three pizza rolls and you're keeping the 94, to use my analogy from a few minutes ago. It's ridiculous and it's unfair. $1,900 in 2005 meant the world to me. I was 22 years old. My eyes were on the prize, man. I wanted to be someone at Bank of America. I wanted to kick ass in banking. I really thought that this job was for me. Now I realize that it is for me, but not in the traditional sense, because I would just look at this $750 cash bonus if I was sitting at my desk at Bank of America with just contempt. I'm like, you fuckers. I'm literally in an enclosed space with someone who may have COVID-19 with every single customer. You, the same people that told me that I had to shake everyone's hand and say their names 3 times and walk with them side by side out the door. All of a sudden, all those protocols are not good enough for people now because of the pandemic, and they have to work that much harder, possibly swimming in a pool of germs in these crazy offices. And you have the nerve to say $750 is okay when you gave me 3 times the amount for not doing really anything at all in 2005 and barely doing anything different in 2017. Now it's wrong, okay? If you worked in a branch or a legitimate call center with Bank of America, and I mean the non-third party ones, man, you deserve $50 an hour. You deserve a $5,000 bonus. Or better yet, you deserve those stock options the way that those rich assholes got them. But $750, Bank of America is a total joke for your employees. They deserve better. You know how Bank of America's slogan is, what would you like the power to do? Oh man, if I had the power to give all the people who work really hard at those jobs a little bit more money to make it more palatable, I totally would want the power to do that. Shame on you, Bank of America. The pandemic is still going on. You're not refunding fees for customers. You're making billions of dollars, and you're going to be back in the high 20s next year if everything is getting back to normal. So are you gonna reward the same shitty bonus to your employees again then, $750? Only time will tell. So stay tuned for the January 2022 edition of this podcast. But until then, my name is James, the Notorious Banker. I'm signing off for now. I am exhausted. I wanted to do this podcast because there was so much going on in the Bank of America world here, and I'm really thankful to be doing it. So thank you so very much for listening to this. Go to patreon.com/notoriousbanker. Donate at least $1, $5, $10, $15, $20. Help the Notorious Banker fight back against big banks. I'll give you some additional content on there. But in reality, you're assisting a really good cause, and that's me working for the people. So if you have a few bucks to give, I certainly recommend you go there. Venmo and Cash App are available at The Banker Dude, so please do that there. That's The Banker Dude. thenotoriousbanker.com. And of course, I'm on TikTok at Notorious Banker. I took a couple of weeks off because I was a little bit sick, but I will be posting videos shortly on there. Stay tuned for that. I'll be back in a few days with another podcast unless breaking news warrants it. But thank you so much for listening to this. Thank you so much for listening how exhausted I am. And I'm still churning through this podcast. I'll be back with another one very soon. So we'll talk to you then. You enjoy your weekend. And thanks for listening to the Notorious Banker podcast. You have a great day.